Chapter 1. What is an opportunity? As humans, we have an astonishing ability that it seems other animals have not developed yet. We can use mental symbols called words, and we can modify those symbols and change their relationships to other symbols and concepts in our minds. When you define a word, you are doing something mysterious and powerful. You are modifying the relationship between things in your mind. You are making and modifying meaning. As we grow, most of us learn the definitions of words intuitively, meaning that we infer the meaning of the words through their use in conversation with others. As I watch my 4-year-old daughter learning language, I can see this process in action. She has recently started asking, "Do you love me 100%? Of course, my wife and I answer, "Yes, I love you 100%. I know that she can't yet understand what a percentage really means, but I also know that she has somehow gotten the message that 100% means yes. Later, when she reaches a developmental stage where she can understand percentages, the meaning of a phrase like, "I love you 100%, will change for her. It will become more subtle and metaphorical. Because most of us establish the meaning of most of the words we use unconsciously, you might say that we carry around general definitions rather than precise definitions. And this represents a big opportunity to me. In life, when the way that you think is better matched to what actually happens and to the way the world actually works, it allows you to better imagine what will happen and what could happen. More precise thinking creates more precise analysis, estimation, prediction, explanation, decision-making, and much more. It also helps with communication. We humans often use one word to describe something when we actually mean another. If your friend says, "I'm going to Hawaii on vacation," you might respond by saying, "I'm jealous." But in reality, you're probably not jealous. Rather, you feel envy. When you wish you had what another person has, that's envy. It's when you covet an experience. Jealousy, however, is the emotion you feel when someone you care about pays attention to someone else instead of you. Generally, jealousy involves 3 people, whereas envy only involves 2. So it's possible for you to feel jealous of your friend going to Hawaii, but only if they're going with your spouse. So why does this matter? Because most of us don't take the time to actually check our own definitions. And I believe that this winds up costing us a lot. Because most people use the word jealous to describe the emotion of envy, this leaves them without a word to use when they are actually feeling jealous. A consequence is that when they do feel jealous, they are not aware that they're feeling it. Instead, they might believe that they're feeling angry or just generally upset. Their unconsciousness leads them to behave in ways that are insecure, controlling, and possessive, which often drives their partner away. If they actually knew the correct word for what they were feeling emotionally, I believe that it could allow them to communicate better with their partner about it and possibly even save their relationship. Quite a consequence for confusing one word with another. But once you start paying closer attention, you realize that this is almost the rule rather than the exception. The point I'm making here is that most people don't know what most words mean. We have a word that has an approximate meaning that's something like what we're trying to convey, but we haven't fine-tuned our definitions to make sure they're precise and accurate. Most people have not gone back and updated their definitions of the words they use in everyday thinking and communication. You might say, "Yes, but most of the words I use are not like that. I know what they mean." And I invite you to test that theory out a bit. Start looking up the definitions of more words, and I think you'll find that there is a much more precise definition for the word that you're using. And by understanding that definition, you can sharpen your thinking and increase your ability to understand, communicate, consider, and predict what happens. Do you know what the word opportunity means? Take a minute and write down your definition of the word before listening further. Use this as an opportunity to see what I'm talking about. If you take a minute and articulate your definition for opportunity, you'll get a lot more from this next section. Once you've clarified your own definition of opportunity, then start listening again. Okay, write your definition down. Okay, so what did you come up with? When I find an interesting word, I like to look up the etymology or evolutionary history of the word, along with as many definitions as I can find. If you look at the evolution of the word opportunity, you discover something interesting. It comes from the Latin word opportunus, which means to move toward a port or harbor. Ob is toward, plus portus is harbor. When a ship is coming into harbor and it can see the port that is its destination, this is opportunus. It's interesting to discover the metaphorical meaning of words as they give you access to aspects of meaning that you can't get to conceptually. It feels very different to think of being on a ship in a harbor and seeing the port that you're sailing toward. I also mentioned multiple definitions. We tend to think of words as having a definition, when most words have several definitions. Just like letters are reused and recombined in multiple senses to form words, words themselves are reused, often having many different definitions. For important words, I think you need at least three distinct definitions, and ideally 5 to 7. Counterintuitively, each one, like a facet on a diamond, allows the word to sparkle with more precision and clarity. Because I believe that opportunity is an important concept to understand, I want to share several definitions with you. Notice how the concept becomes more dimensional as you consider these definitions. I personally like to collect as many definitions of a word as I can, as I feel that this offers a much richer understanding. Go back and look at your own definition for opportunity, and then compare to these. The simplest definition I have for opportunity is potential value. An opportunity is when you can see the possibility to produce or capture value. Value is the thing you want, and potential is the possibility that you can get it. This definition depends upon you knowing what value means to the individual or group who would like to achieve it. Some values are affirmative or positive values, and some are negative values. One person may value getting a new home. Another might value avoiding losing the home they already have. One is a positive value, to get something, and one is a negative value, to avoid losing something. If you were looking to buy a home and you find one that meets your needs, you might see that as an opportunity. If, however, you've been informed that your home is going to be taken from you because the mortgage wasn't paid, but you find someone willing to lend you the money to pay it, you might see that as an opportunity. In both cases, when the potential for realizing your value arises, it's felt as an opportunity. The metaphorical phrase window of opportunity is often used when describing situations like this one. A person trying to sell you a home or someone lending you money to keep your home may say, "The window of opportunity is going to close," meaning that the way for you to realize your value, get what you want, or avoid what you don't want is available now, but not forever. It is an interesting quality of opportunity that it usually comes with a time limit or shelf life, which gives each opportunity an emotional and psychological charge. The potential value is here, but not forever. And somehow our motivation and reward systems seem to come highly attuned to this dynamic. When an opportunity arises in our awareness, it is often accompanied by a sense of anxiety. We don't want to miss out on the value or lose it because we didn't pay attention. I believe that opportunity is increasing right now for all of us, and that this increase is very counterintuitive and potentially overwhelming because it increases this anxiety. Let's consider more definitions of opportunity. Merriam-Webster first defines opportunity as a favorable juncture of circumstances. Dictionary.com says that opportunity is a set of circumstances that make it possible to do something. A bear standing next to a mountain stream catching migrating salmon is taking advantage of a favorable juncture of circumstances. It's a set of circumstances that make it possible to do something. Eat. I'm guessing that this type of predator-prey interaction is likely the source of the term opportunistic, which has a connotation of being or acting in a way that is all about finding places to go snatch and grab or get instant gratification. Taken to an extreme, people who approach life opportunistically are often thought of as having predatory natures, and there's something to this. It's important to always be watching your environment and the dynamics of the situations that you move through. Reality often presents coincidences, intersections, synchronicities, convergences, and collisions that create possibilities and potentials that weren't there before. If you're alert and you understand the potential implications of the emergence of new forms and dimensions of opportunity, it can lead to a game changer in your life. Shakespeare writes in Julius Caesar, "There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. omitted all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea, we are now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures. Robert Frost famously writes in his poem, The Road Not Taken, about two roads diverging in a wood as a metaphor for the choices we must make in our lives. The one he chooses, the one less traveled by, makes all the difference in his path. These are sentiments spoken in metaphor, which convey the importance of capitalizing on an opportunity created by favorable circumstances. If you notice, each of these not only includes the importance of circumstances, they also imply the importance of seeing and seizing the moment. In definitions based on a juncture of circumstances, it is often forgotten just how important judgment and action are to the equation. The more academic definitions make the circumstances the star of the show. They imply that the opportunity is the result of the circumstances. But buried in this type of language is the assumption that the opportunity happens out there, in the world, rather than the opportunity being created or generated internally, from within your mind, from within your own mind and imagination. Always remember that opportunity isn't just out there, it's also in here. I actually believe that it's a lot more in here than out there. More on that later. Another definition of opportunity is arbitrage. This is a term that stock market traders use to describe a situation where a stock or commodity is for sale in one place at one price and in another place for a different price, a situation in which you can capture risk-free profits. In life, if we see an opportunity, we most ideally want it to be an arbitrage situation, so we can get what we want quickly and without risk. Whether we want money, attention, power, fame, security, or relief from pain or worry, the part of us that likes instant gratification wants it right now and without having to risk or give anything to get it. More generally speaking, arbitrage is where you can buy low and sell high with a degree of certainty, even if the transaction involves multiple steps and happens over time. The spirit of arbitrage is that it happens relatively quickly, with relatively high certainty, and without much risk of loss. If you work on Wall Street, a good portion of your attention is likely dedicated to discovering potential arbitrage situations. And when you find one, you bet on it appropriately. Billions of dollars are invested in complex computer systems to monitor world markets, searching for arbitrage opportunities, then to quickly make trades that offer instant profits. In many cases, these systems actually manipulate the markets in order to create arbitrage opportunities. Many hedge funds try to create models and algorithms to find arbitrage opportunities over time. If you know what's going to happen in the future with a degree of certainty, you can place appropriate bets and have a higher probability of winning. Arbitrage situations come up in real life as well. When I was in my late teens, I would visit secondhand stores and look through the books for good deals. I would search for books that I believed that bookstores would pay high prices for, often buying books for 50 cents for a dollar, and then selling them for $8 or $10 at a bookstore a few miles away, and paying for my food and gas for the day in the process. I know friends who have found pieces of real estate that they recognized as being priced well, and then submitted offers contingent upon raising the financing for the purchase. This allowed them to lock up the property for a month or two, while they then went out and found someone else to buy it for more money. In a case like this, the risk was very low because they hadn't actually purchased anything. They just created an opportunity for themselves to earn a profit that was relatively risk-free. This is essentially creating an arbitrage opportunity with real estate. In business, advertising and marketing can create opportunities that are very close to arbitrage. If you have an ad or marketing piece that generates more in profit than it costs to run, you can often earn increasing profit by running the ad over and over again. This is one of the reasons why it is important to continually experiment with new advertising and marketing channels, especially in the current environment of rapid online innovation. I have watched $1 million and $1 billion businesses emerge out of the discovery of one new marketing or distribution channel that was discovered at just the right time. I started my online business in 2001, just as pay-per-click advertising was emerging on the scene. This represented a massive opportunity, as very few marketers were using these systems, and traffic could be purchased at incredibly low prices, in some cases for a penny per click. This was a big help in building my business in the early days. I thought of it as arbitrage when it was happening. Another definition of opportunity I'll suggest is that it is the heart of entrepreneurship. This definition steps a bit outside the box of our others as it defines opportunity as being a key part of something larger, being an entrepreneur. In the modern day, an entrepreneur is someone who builds a successful, profitable business. People like Mark Zuckerberg, Oprah Winfrey, Jeff Bezos are considered icons of entrepreneurship. And if you look carefully at their histories, you'll see a common denominator. They were great at seeing and seizing opportunity. Dan Sullivan, founder of The Strategic Coach, has paraphrased Jean-Baptiste Say in defining an entrepreneur as someone who takes resources from a lower level of productivity to a higher level of productivity. This is a wonderful way of thinking about entrepreneurship in the bigger picture. I have had the good fortune to know and watch many successful entrepreneurs up close in my life. They tend to be good at watching for opportunity across all of the areas that their business touches or involves. They look for opportunity by finding out what their customers want. They look for opportunity by negotiating better prices when buying things. They look for opportunity by hiring the best team members possible. They look for opportunity by studying the latest knowledge and news. They look for opportunity by analyzing their business processes to make them more efficient. Some of the most successful entrepreneurs I know are actually what you might call opportunity agnostic. They are always scanning the horizon of the business and financial environment and watching for the types of changes that signal the emergence of new opportunities. I have watched people who have worked in one domain of business stop what they're doing and shift to a completely new thing because they sense a big opportunity. These types tend to be on the more extreme end of being opportunistic, but the example is important because it offers an insight into a way of thinking that most people never even consider. Steve Jobs was almost psychic at changing course when the timing was right and when the opportunities presented themselves. He started out building computers, but later purchased the company that became Pixar and built it into the first major computer animation film company. Not only did Pixar create one blockbuster success after another, but it later sold to Disney for over $7 billion. Steve also famously made a daring business move by launching the iPod, which was the first big mainstream portable music and media player. Again, he started out building computers, so this was not something that was expected of a company like Apple. Steve Jobs saw opportunity where others didn't, and this led to many business success stories, and to him making himself a billionaire with two different companies. He was an iconic entrepreneur, and he was an artist when it came to opportunity. In this book, we will invest a lot of our attention on the business side of opportunity, so for now, we will move on to other definitions. To me, the most important aspect of opportunity isn't the circumstances that are given to you or the situations that you find yourself in. Instead, it's what we might call the domain of creative opportunity. Creative opportunity is when you use your mind to envision things in a new way, creating novel possibilities of value in the process. This is different from the juncture of circumstances model in that it puts the primary emphasis on how you see things rather than on how they happen to be in the moment. It takes you from being passively at the mercy of the circumstances and puts you in the pilot seat of creating new ones. Imagination is one of the most miraculous things we can experience in life. Albert Einstein said, "Imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited, whereas imagination embraces the entire world, stimulating progress, giving birth to evolution." In your imagination, you can create entire worlds of possibility. Try out an infinite variety of experiences, and look at things from every possible perspective. When you marry this ability to the skill of creating opportunity, the sky, or rather the universe, is the limit. Realizing the power of your creative imagination is the starting point for new dimensions of opportunity. It is the pathway to solving everything from problems in your life to problems in the world. I like to believe that the spirit of opportunity is essentially creative. I want to live in a world where we use our minds to their highest capacities and to contribute to reducing suffering and the evolution of all life. Creative imagination is also how we transform scarce resources into abundant opportunities. Paul Zane Pilser, the economist and thought leader, wrote an enlightening book titled Unlimited Wealth. It sounds like a self-help title, but within its pages, Pilser conveys an inspiring model of the world. He says that traditionally, economics is defined as the study of the distribution of scarce resources. But as he was looking at history, he saw a clear pattern. Whenever a resource becomes scarce, We humans use our ingenuity and creative imagination to find new ways of doing things, effectively transforming the scarcity into abundance. He uses the example of oil, pointing out that in the 1970s, there was talk of us reaching peak oil and running out very soon. Immediately, people went to work to figure out new ways to do things, inventing technology to help cars get more miles per gallon of gasoline and generating more electricity per barrel of oil. This quickly extended the horizon of how much oil we, quote-unquote, had left, and took us from peak oil to thinking about how to create new sources of energy that were far more sustainable. The key is that once humans recognize that a resource is scarce, we either extend the resource or invent something new to replace it. Again, essentially creating abundance where scarcity once was. This is the unlimited wealth that Pilser is speaking of in his title. It's really related to unlimited ingenuity. Entrepreneurs love to discover gaps to fill, places where desirable resources are considered scarce, or where an inefficient system is creating a bottleneck, so they can innovate new ways to produce and capture value. This always involves some form of creative imagination and some form of generating opportunity. If you go back through the history of great inventions, you'll see a clear pattern. People who have creatively imagined, discovered, combined, and integrated things that had never been before. From the printing press to the telescope to the airplane to the space shuttle, each was a feat of creative imagination. Each represented potential value, and each was a huge opportunity. Quick reminder, get a summary of this entire book, chapter by chapter, plus written implementation exercises for each chapter, additional bonus sections, and access to a free class to help you discover your best opportunities by visiting opportunitybonus.com. Okay, so quick summary. Why it's important to learn about opportunity. One, understanding opportunity is a key to success in life. Two, you can increase the quantity and quality of opportunities in your life. Three, there is a reliable, systematic way to do it. We are all encountering more and more situations that pull us in multiple directions and options that are increasingly hard to choose between. Each of us must learn how to navigate through this complexity to take advantage of our best opportunities. The right opportunity can be incredibly motivating. If you want to experience a powerful desire or intense inspiration, put yourself in the flow of better and better opportunities in your life and business. Change is accelerating, and with it, our ability to create the reality we want. We live in what I call the creativeverse, where you can imagine and create things as you want them to be. Practice creating in slow motion to prepare for a future in the great acceleration. Okay, so question one, where would you like to have more opportunity in your life? Question two, which types of opportunity do you find to be highly motivating, and how can you put yourself in an increasing stream of that type? And then three, what would you like to modify, change, or improve in your life? Visualize the change you'd like to make, and then go and do it to practice creating. Okay, so the next one, a multi-definition of opportunity. One, a favorable juncture of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. Two, arbitrage, a place where you can buy low and sell high with little risk. Three, potential value, when you can see a possibility to produce or capture value. Four, the heart of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurs are better at finding and creating opportunity. Etymology, opportunus, a ship in harbor moving toward a port that it can see. Opportunity means different things in different situations and different things to different people. By using multiple refined definitions, the concept of opportunity comes into sharper mental focus. As you refine and clarify your definition of the word opportunity, you build new mental connections and you develop the ability to see and create opportunity across all domains of your life. Keep asking yourself what opportunity really means to you and to the world. So what is your definition of opportunity? How do you know a great opportunity when you see one? How has the book Opportunity changed your idea of opportunity so far?